This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome back to Seagull Social, Season 3, Episode 46. So we're just trying to figure out if there's a delay. Hopefully there isn't. I'm of course Ben. You probably haven't seen us for a couple of weeks, so I'm joined by Maz and Ryan. How are your summers going? I'll start with you, Ryan.
I'm looking good, mate. I've been getting a bit of
I'm looking
tan,
good. No, so, I asked you how you are.
it's all good, all good. Plenty of vibes this summer, to be fair. Got a new job, so feeling good. But yeah, things are going well. Very good. Thank you very much.
Congrats to you. Maz, how's your summer
congrats
going?
Congrats on the job
yeah,
as well,
Yeah, congrats,
right?
Of course, as well. So you did just time out. Me and Maz didn't understand a single word you just said.
I caught the end of it, so I thought I'd
it's all right. It's okay. Thank you, mate. Thank
yes.
You very much.
What have I been up to? Not much, really, to be honest, Ben. Just hustling, mate. Hashtag grinding. Just been working living the dream.
You're joining the Sidemen, aren't you, Maz?
Yeah, joining the Sidemen. Confirmed. Romano's going to do the tweet soon. Here we go. And yeah, I got a little cameo on TalkSport as well last night. That was fun. Good fun. Yeah.
Nice.
It's been good, man.
Good. Yeah.
How are you, Ben?
Yeah, not too bad, really. I was very ill last week for some reason. I've been so ill this year. It's been really unlucky so far.
I know. I was going to say, I actually feel like every time we spoke, it's like I've been ill like last week.
Yeah,
and then
I just
right,
burning the candle.
It's like a really
ends,
weird cycle.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I literally had every symptom under the sun.
I think it's called a come down, Ben. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm going through one right now, mate. I'm sweating out. The come down from the toilet, I'll just be like. anyway.
That's grim.
Anyway, yeah, last week was grim, Ryan. But no, other than that, it's been good. Yeah, just burning the candle at both ends. Hopefully not going to be doing that too much soon, but we'll see how that goes. And in terms of Brighton, we've kind of had a very good start to the summer transfer window, I'd say. Got a few decent signings, a few boys linked as well, which we'll be talking about. Obviously, when we uploaded our latest episode, we had actually recorded that at the same time as the previous episode. So we haven't filmed for like probably 4 or 5 weeks. Since then, quite a bit has happened, including Alexis McAllister actually left. We never actually spoke about it. So, Ryan, what are your thoughts on him going to Liverpool, going to that club in particular? And also, how do you think he will do at Liverpool? Do you think he'll be a flop? Do you think he'll go under the radar? Will he be a big game changer for them? What do you reckon?
Very weird choice, but I do sort of get it. I think it's weird in that it's to a team that's still in the Europa League the same as us. That was always been a bit of an odd one. But at the end of the day, it's Liverpool. They're a massive club, probably the biggest club, one of the biggest clubs in England, if you include United. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to a very prestigious club. He's going to be recognised by the global scale. And he's going to be put on a platform. So I get why he's gone. For the price we obviously got is 30 million up front, 55 million all in. It seems a little bit low. But then at the same time, I looked at it in this way, and this is almost a bit of a counteract question to your question of 55 million all in, say it all comes through. And before the World Cup and before he sort of, you know, became this sort of global superstar that is, realistically, 55 million was probably around about the right price. And to anybody else, I don't really think that anyone actually took any notice of Alexis McAllister before he won the World Cup. It's also to say he wasn't a good player, but I think that, you know, definitely since the World Cup, he almost sort of, performances fell off a little bit. But also, I think he was actually better in that before World Cup to after World Cup. And people only rate him after the World Cup. And that's what I think is the 55 is a bit more justified, you know.
But with those, yeah, we say it's like got add-ons, but we probably don't know what the add-ons are specifically. If I could take a wild guess and say one of them is for them to win maybe the Premier League, I doubt it would just be just to win a trophy, which may, and if I'm thinking about, right, will they win a trophy anytime soon? Or will we get, let's say, 10 million or 7.5 million as part of that? I can't see them winning a trophy anytime soon, personally, unless it's Europa League, but maybe I doubt that would be like a Europa League add-on or anything like that. What do you reckon with the Europa price? Maybe. Well, no, they might win it, but I don't. Maybe unless that's in the deal, who knows? It's only like speculation. But we'll win that. But Maz, what were your thoughts on the fee? Because a lot, it's mainly 35, but we don't know what the add-ons.
Yeah.
What they're about.
Yeah, I've seen the narrative, especially on socials, of like, oh, I can't believe, like, what a steal, 35 million. And I think, yeah, let's be real, it's not 35 million, as Ryan's just said, it's 20 million add-ons, which is, you know, yeah, 55 million all in. It's still cheap, I reckon. I agree with Ryan, I still think it's a bit on the cheap side. I feel like we definitely maybe could have gone more. It's a bit weird for us, isn't it? Because as we all know, like, Tony Bloom does not lay down for anyone, and he doesn't care if it's Real Madrid or Bayern Munich. If he thinks a player's worth X amount, that's what we're going to get for him. So I was a bit surprised in that sense that we sort of, he did go for what is perceived as cheap. But at the end of the day, like Ryan said, we're getting 55 million for a player who I feel is replaceable. And I know that sounds a bit crazy to say because of how important he was and how good of a player he is. But I feel like we can replace him. We've proven it for the last two seasons now that we can replace these players. And I fully think we can do it again. It's just who comes in. You know, we've had Dahoud come in and Milner, obviously. They're not, in my opinion, I don't know about, definitely not Milner, but is Dahoud going to be a starter for us? He's got the quality, but is he going to keep injury free? That's going to be the big question mark, I think, with him. It's just, yeah, who do we replace McAllister with? I think that's the key thing now, is like who comes in as a starter.
It seems like it'll be Mohamed Kudus from Ajax, but we will talk about that a little bit later.
Just to add on to the price.
I'll give my point, then, Alexis.
I was just going to say about the price, just before you do your piece. I think as well, a big part of the reasoning letting him go so cheap, to me anyway, as an outsider that sort of understands the inside a little bit, as Tony Bloom, I'd imagine, would have said, or you know, the club would have said, that because you've been so good throughout, you've always given us ultimate respect. You know, you won the World Cup and you didn't just jump ship afterwards. If you stay with us and keep on till the end of the season, keep playing as you are because you are playing well, then we'll let you go. It's almost like one of them, you know, we'll let you go a little bit cheaper than we normally would because you've treated us so well. We'll treat you a bit nicer too. And maybe it's a bit of an agreement in that way. I don't know. I think he's
shown that before, hasn't he? Like, Bloom won't keep you there. If you don't want to stay, you don't want to stay. Like, but yeah. I think he's shown time and time again, I won't let you leave until you pay me what you're worth. I think that's the key thing. It's like, he's not going to keep you prisoner. And I think, I'm sure we'll get onto it, but the Caicedo, you know, he signed his new contract, didn't he? In March, after the transfer window, basically. But it's obvious to see that he didn't sign that because he wanted to stay at the club. He signed that because obviously there'll be stuff in the contract that will say he can leave for this amount, or there's this clause. There'll be something in that paperwork. And that's the reason he signed that new contract. Let's be real. He wasn't going to sign like a 3-year extension because he wanted to stay at the club. He done it so he can get a better deal when the transfer window opens again. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure Tony Bloom knows what he's doing.
Exactly. Like, imagine if we did lose him in Jan. Who knows? Would we have got Europe still? Maybe we could have. But would it have been Europa League? Would we have such a great run after the World Cup if he had gone in Jan for a bit more money? So, if that was the case, then I'm happy that we held on to him for a cheaper price. It makes sense. And that we're playing European football, not the Conference League. We're playing Europa League next season, which is incredible. I do question whether he'll be good next year, depending on what role he plays also in that midfield.
Yeah, I do agree.
There's a number of different roles he could play. Because let's say if he plays that deeper role, he has so much weight on his shoulders to make sure that when Robertson and Trent are going forward, that he's filling in there. And that's a lot of pressure on Alexis McAllister, I think. It depends on also then if he plays more of an 8 role, will he be doing that? I don't know if he gets ahead. Maybe if Thiago plays, I think they're linked with Szoboszlai from RB Leipzig or Leipzig, however you like to say it. And I feel like he would be more of the 8 or more of the attacking midfield of those three. which then means Alexis is probably then going to be playing in that more defensive role. And then it goes back to, you know, how Trent, what Trent's like. And they struggled with that at the beginning of last season, didn't they? With Trent bombing forward, they didn't really have a defence after that.
I think that's why I'm a bit more like, you know, they've got these inverted fullbacks, which to be fair is one thing that Alexis will be used to at Brighton, is that we've been very used to having inverted fullbacks, probably less so with Veltman, but particularly with Estupiñán, and I know we don't like him anymore, but Cucurella was very good with it. And I think he's going to be used to that sort of game. The only thing I'm not so sure about is, yeah, there's a lot of added pressure. He's obviously a very sort of emotional character. You know, he's a very sort of sensitive guy. And I rate that. And I think you can sort of tell by the way that the players have all posted about him and everyone's sort of giving him their best wishes that, you know, he goes with the ultimate blessing, especially from the fans as well. Not many players have gone away and done that recently. And I think that's a really big bit of respect. But at the same time, as we always say, Mr. Nice Guy in football doesn't always work. And, you know, especially with these big six sort of fans, you'd get a couple of passes wrong or you have a couple of mistakes. Mr. Nice Guy isn't very well liked on Twitter, especially, you know, he's going to get digged out for that. So hoping for his sake that doesn't happen, because he is a quality player on his day.
Yeah. Although he won't be next to Moises Caicedo now, which is probably one of the biggest strengths of our midfield. Mm. So I'll be interested if he's, I doubt Henderson's going to be playing, but who he does play with, I can't really think of the top of my head who will start in that three. But yeah, he's not going to be next to an absolute powerhouse of Moises Caicedo to sweep up with him. He might be the only defensive midfielder in that three. So yeah, best of luck to him. Obviously, I'd love for him to do really well, because I absolutely love the bloke and he gave so much to the club. I think that's probably enough on Alexis McAllister. Another departure, which is, yeah, that's fair. Another guy, imminent. He's going to be going, surely. Moises Caicedo, we've spoken about him so much. Doesn't look like he'll be going to Arsenal now, who obviously nearly signed him in January, because they've just pretty much got Declan Rice. £100 million or whatever it is. Crazy, crazy money. I know it's English tax or whatever, but if, like you said, I think you tweeted off SS Maz, if he's going for £100 million, what's more is his Caicedo worth? It's a weird one.
I was gonna, in my opinion, if Declan Rice worth £105 million, Moises Caicedo minimum is £120 million. But obviously that's not going to happen because of English tax and all that jazz. We're probably looking more, what, 80 to 100, I think. But
I think it'll be 100 plus.
You know, I hope so, because otherwise it's ridiculous.
It's the
market.
It'll be like 80-85, I imagine.
That's the thing. The market's messed up, basically. We all know that, yeah? But if we're going by deals, as in, if a player's gone this amount, what does the next player go? If you go by that logic, there's no reason why Moises Caicedo goes for any less than, let's say, 110, 120 million. Because it's just mental to me to think, look, I'm not saying Declan Rice is a bad player. He's a very, very top quality player. You know, we all know that, how good he is. But he's running ragged against West Ham. Even after, remember, the press conference, Declan Rice came out and he's like, I hated it out there. It was like one of the worst days.
He said it was demoralising.
Against Caicedo. And then was it the semi-finals against Man United? He was by far the best player on the pitch that day. There's just time and time again, you could pull out a million performances from Moises Caicedo of how good he is. We know how good he is. So if Declan Rice is going for 105 million, I'm sorry, but Moises Caicedo has to go for 110, 120. But I just, I'm with Ben, unfortunately. I just don't see it happening, unfortunately.
Yes. What about you, Ryan? I agree with everything you say about how good he is, obviously, and I think that he is fantastic. Don't need to go over it. But at the same time, one thing I do disagree with, I've got this weird confidence. I don't know why. I think that I just believe in what Bloom's doing. I get the whole thing of where he is with the whole poker board here, and the cards he's got is obviously worth more than the cards that he wants off the others. So he knows that. And I think that because they've got Colwill, and because we know that Colwill wants to stay, and because we know all of these things, it's very, very public as to how much Chelsea are on their knees for Caicedo. At the same time, people know that we want Colwill. It just seems like a bit of a back and forth, really. It's like football fans at a station, really. Like, it's sort of like, come on then. And another week's passed and nothing's happened. And the only reason I think it's because, obviously, yeah, and I do think because, obviously, the price tag is so high, that's what's given me this confidence of, well, you either have him or you don't. And I think that because with McAllister's clause was a bit different and their agreement was a bit different, was, we'll let you go because you've given us loyalty. Whereas Moises Caicedo's is, we'll let you go if this offer comes in. It gives us more leverage, because if that offer doesn't come in, then we have no obligation to let him go. And for me, that gives us the ultimate power. And all the time that Colwill wants to stay here, which he's made quite pretty well known, particularly to people around the club, it makes you think, well, how can we be the ones that are going to lose in this situation?
But that Chelsea does give Chelsea a bit of an advantage. I know Colwill wants to leave, but the fact that we want him and they have him, that gives them a little bit more power to do as well. And they know that we don't want to do it. I know, but I think we're very set. It seems like we're very set on Colwill. And I know I am, and probably a lot of the Brighton fans are.
Oh, yeah, of course we are.
Because we were so attached to him last year, and we can see how good he will be. And the fact that he's been so outspoken about wanting to be here, that's why we really, really want him.
But my thing is, though, so what was it? We bid, was it 40 million for Colwill? Got rejected, or was it 30 million?
I don't think the 40 got rejected. I think that's what I was trying to work out. Oh, really? Because I couldn't, unless I've gone mad, like maybe I have.
It was just laughed at, it wasn't rejected.
But this is the thing, right? So Colwill, let's say they value him at what, 50 million, I'm assuming, sort of 50 million plus Chelsea.
Yeah.
If let's say that if he becomes part of the deal, well then Caicedo, let's say we value Caicedo at 100 million plus, you're looking at a 50 million plus Caicedo for Colwill. But I don't know. I doubt they're going to do it as one part of the deal. I reckon they're going to do it separately, just because I think that's probably how they want to do it.
Apparently, it helps manage the books as well. Helps get a few financial things when you don't. When it's a player swap, you don't. Yeah.
Well, we've seen Chelsea. They're signing eight-year contracts, and
just want to also mention Chelsea, because Maz has only got 10 minutes left of this podcast on Chelsea and Colwill, Moises Caicedo. How dodgy is this Chelsea Saudi thing? Meeting a month or so ago, ridiculous. And then they've sold three players of massive wages to Saudi. So dodgy. And then on top of that, yesterday, Strasbourg, I think they might be German, who are owned by like Bluco, which is heavily involved in Chelsea and both the clubs. Strasbourg are interested in signing Saar, and it's basically just Todd Boehly bidding to himself, sending himself an email.
It won't
It's not that. It's not that specific, but it's just so dodgy. How dodgy? Yeah.
Because it won't last. It won't last. Sorry, Maz.
You're good. It's just Chelsea. Do you know what? One thing I will give them props. Yeah, fair play to them. This transfer window, they have been excellent. Like, you look at Mason Mount going for 60 million with a year left on his deal, is like amazing, good business. Like, they've let go so many players to the Saudi Pro League, and they are getting a lot of money in. Of course, they've spent a hell of a lot. Like, they spent silly money on Mudryk. They've spent a lot of money elsewhere. But
they're getting loads of it back from Saudi Arabia.
It's obviously super dodgy.
That's
like, even with the
map, I don't know.
Yeah, go on, Ryan.
This isn't sitting right. Yeah, no, sorry. I was going to say, I agree with you, Ben. I think that I don't know if it's going to stick. Like, all of a sudden, this guy from America has come in and does some crazy things over the past year, has then claimed he's got this sort of massive loophole and tricked the whole of any CEO or any senior in football history in England, that this guy from America knows that no one else does, because he can give an 8-year deal that everyone's done on the Football Manager anyway. And this is what I don't understand is, like, I just feel like it's like, I don't know, I think something's wrong with them, and they've spent so much money that surely someone's got to catch up. Like, I don't know the ins and outs and the financials at Chelsea, but something doesn't quite add up to my brain anyway, and what do I know, I guess. But I do think that with, back on the Colwill thing, where you say about the 40 million, the 30 million was definitely a verbal thing. It was never actually an official bid, but the 40 million was an official bid. I haven't seen that been rejected. I could be wrong. But my thinking is, obviously, if they're so confident in getting Caicedo for 80 million, or if that's just propaganda, could be. At the end of the day, our evaluation for Caicedo was 120 thereabouts. 40 million plus 80 equals 120, no? So I don't know what the if that's just a conspiracy theory. But I don't know, something to me seems like both of us are going to come away happy, because if there's another deal of someone's coming away feeling smug, and if it's that lot, I think that it's the end of our negotiations together and this whole little partnership that we seem to have.
Yeah, the unofficial partner. Just finally from me on Caicedo or Chelsea in general, is that I think that I've seen Colwill, they've said basically like they want to keep him, you know, they see him as a future, and potentially for a second loan, don't
Poch
they?
Does,
yeah. Well, yeah, no, yeah, you're right, right. I would love to keep Caicedo as well.
I want to sign him back
there
as well.
There's rumours, isn't there, that we might get Colwill on loan again for a second season, which I would not be happy with at all. I think, we always say, don't we? We don't want to develop another player's player unless we get him at the end of it.
The club have said that as well. They share the exact same opinion.
Yeah. So I just basically hope that we get a really good deal. If Caicedo goes, we get 100 million plus, and then hopefully we can sort out a deal for Colwill, because I think he'll be key next to Dunk next season and just helps us with that depth at centre back as well. So yeah.
Call me crazy, but I would take, let's say, 85 million for Caicedo, and then we pay 35 to 40 for Colwill. I know then it's maybe like the only difference there is like 40 million we have in between that, but I really think we should get Colwill, and he'll be a massive, massive player for us for years to come, not just in the near future.
But then you can say that about Caicedo, though. 21.
What do you mean?
True.
No, I know, but he was destined for a bigger club and always has been since he burst onto the scene at Brighton. I feel like that was always the projection. Like, one day he'll probably be playing for Real Madrid. I probably don't see the same for Levi Colwill at the moment, but I just think, Colwill could be such a huge success at our club. And Caicedo maybe is not as replaceable, but we can replace him. And like you said and talked about yesterday, Maz, we have so much faith in Tony Bloom that they're always going to do the right thing. I would happily give Caicedo to Chelsea, get Colwill in. Do you agree, Ron?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, I think pretty much. The only thing I think, a loan, if it's another loan, I mean, obviously he loves the club. If he comes in and plays really well for another year, it is what it is. At the same time, if he doesn't renew a new contract at Chelsea and sign to us on loan, I can live with it a bit more, because then that gives us a little bit more leverage going into next summer. I know it seems like a long way away yet, but if he doesn't renew a new contract at Chelsea, I think he would only have 2 years left, or maybe one. And that means that obviously his price is either going to be in our hands, or they're going to be a little bit panicky, because they're thinking, if he doesn't renew now, Colwell's got another year at Brighton and he loves it even more because, done well in Europe or whatever, then I don't know. There might be something in that. I could be in dreamland a bit potentially, but I don't know. I just feel like there's something going right at Brighton, as we'll get onto in a bit about the incomings. And I feel like, especially with this Caicedo deal, it just feels like I have a lot of trust, as Maz says, in Bloom, to make this right decision. I don't think we're going to come away from this feeling hard done by. Could be completely wrong, but I really doubt it, if I'm honest.
Yeah, in Bloom we trust.
Exactly. Maz, before you go, I just want to quickly mention, actually, let me mention one thing. Jack Albion's flags at Glasto, and also all the Brighton flags at Glastonbury. Phenomenal. Oh, yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. I think I must have seen, like, I know we posted like maybe three different flags, but I'm not joking. I think I saw probably like four or five, and I don't remember seeing like any other clubs. I know that's what a trophy for Brighton, but it's just class to see so many Brighton flags at Glastonbury.
Glastonbury flags, yeah, trophy.
What a trophy. Yeah, I mean, it's a big one. And obviously Jack's was incredible. It's an England flag that, if you didn't see it, said Jason Steele for England. And that was brilliant. It even got the Football Daily podcast, even gave it a shout out. They're talking about flags at Glastonbury. Yeah. And they gave Jack a shout out, which is incredible. But on Jason Steele, on goalkeepers, looks like we're going to get Bart Verbruggen, who's a Dutch goalkeeper.
Verbruggen.
He looks very, very good. Apparently, he had a really, really good game for Holland, not Belgium. I think people got mixed up with his nationality on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. For the under-21s, he was very, very good. Looks like we're going to get from Anderlecht. Does he, Mads, I know we probably haven't seen too much of him, big old Bart, does he start ahead of Jason Steele? But does Jason Steele deserve to be dropped?
Yeah, so this is my thing. I think you have to go with Steele until he basically proves you wrong, in the sense of he has to go out of the team. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? As in, you basically has to give you a reason why to drop him. Yeah. I think it's so unfair to, especially off the back of last season, how he came into the team sort of halfway through the season and really proved his worth and had some really standout performances. I think it is extremely harsh. However, when you buy in a talent like Verbruggen, who's clearly very talented, he's under 21, Netherlands international, looks a really, really good goalkeeper. I think his stats were brilliant last season. I'm not going to claim like I watched him week in, week out, but he looks good from what I've seen and what I've read about him. So I think you've got a quality goalkeeper that's sort of ready to go. Like, he's ready to take his chance when given it, but I think it'll be extremely harsh to drop Steele. So to answer your question, I would start Steele for the foreseeable until he gives you a reason to drop him. And then finally, I do think it's a bit weird though. Like, for example, that we signed such a young, exciting keeper when we've had like a Carl Rushworth who's and even, you know, who's in the England squad, under 21 squad. I know it doesn't start, but he's in the England squad. Like, it's weird that do we not think he's good enough, Carl Rushworth? Like, do we not think he's you know, ready to replace still? It just, yeah, it makes me think about the club players we do have at the club. Clearly, they don't rate them or whatever, and we know Sanchez is outgoing. Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, but he looks like a quality goalkeeper, and I'm excited for the signing.
Maybe for Rushworth, maybe it's one of the ones where he just needs to be playing more first-team football. I don't know how many years of first-team football Bart's been playing at Anderlecht or maybe before that.
Last
but
January.
Maybe it's just one where...
I think.
Well, is that where he came into the team?
Yeah, I could be right. I don't want to interrupt yet because I'll let Matt before he goes.
So yeah, I don't know how much. I don't know how many seasons or months he's done on in the first team, but maybe it's one where Rushworth just needs more time.
But obviously, but then you go, obviously I know Steele's what, in his 30s now, but yeah, will it be then a Rushworth versus Verbruggen 1 and 2, which will be interesting to see. But no, I'm very excited. I think it's really key that we replace Robert Sanchez. Obviously, he's nailed on to leave.
Where is
he
going though? That's funny.
I haven't seen him being linked anywhere, which is weird.
It looked like he was going to go Tottenham, and now he's not. Maybe Chelsea. Yeah. Now, apparently, Kevin's going to be number one at Chelsea, according to reports.
Also, just before I go, I would love for us to sign Mohamed Kudus. Please, Brighton, if you're
it's
watching.
It's going to happen, mate.
Kudus. Tony, if you're watching, please just go all out for Kudus. Spend 40, 50 million on him. Get the boy in there. And Sacha Boey from Galatasaray as well.
Yes.
We'll be
talking about all of those in part two. Yeah. When Maz is going to be shooting off. But yeah, Maz, thank you very much. And we'll see you in 2 seconds without Maz.
Yeah, peace.
Thank God he's gone. We've had to do that twice now.
We've said that before. Is that a first time thing?
No, we've said that before. Thank God he's gone. Part two, here we go with Ryan and Ben. We're going to be talking about the incomings and obviously the players we have signed, because I don't think we've spoken about too much, have we?
Yeah, I'll talk about Ryan a bit more as well, to be fair.
Yeah, we talk about big Bart Simpson. Bart Simpson. Because his first name is Bart, if people don't know. Really good joke. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for a nice young keeper. Another wonder kid, classic Brighton, that is. Looked like a few other big clubs were interested in him, including Burnley and Man United, two massive clubs,
huge clubs.
But it looks like we're getting him, and I'm very happy about that, because Sanchez obviously done brilliant for us, got us where we are. Helped me. It was a massive pivotal moment when Matty Ryan left and we finally got a very, very good keeper. But obviously something's gone wrong, and I'm glad he's going. Hopefully we'll get some decent money for him. Don't really know how much we'll get. If I'm going to guess, maybe 20, 25 million. Can't see it being any more than that. Especially if he's not going to be someone's number one.
If you don't
want
to be here, then go, isn't it? I think that's pretty much the situation.
Let him go.
So.
But Ryan, what do you reckon of Bart then?
It looks good, mate. I'd be lying if I said I knew loads about him before. I do have a Dutch friend, and I did ask him. I actually have two Dutch friends. So shout out Jelmer and shout out Baz. I spoke to both of them. And Jelmer is a great guy. And he basically told me a little bit about him. And he said that he's an Ajax fan. So he actually told me about Kudus as well. And he said that there was a second round of talks like last week or something like that. So a couple of days ago. So he said that Brighton are the most interested. So he's given me quite a lot of updates on the whole Netherlands link. So it's quite fun. He did say about Bart, he said he's probably one of the most hyped up players in the Netherlands in terms of like prospects, and they're really excited by him. Like all the Dutch fans are proper, you know, bigging him up to be the next big thing. To answer Matt's point on the whole fact of Jason Steele and stuff, and why Carl Rushworth, obviously it does seem to hinder him a little bit. But I don't know if you've seen the clips of his distribution, but he has the passing of a midfielder. It's ridiculous. Like he has his long balls and medium balls.
Not Rock Carl.
Yeah, Verbruggen. And his passing is insane. So he's very, very, very technical with his feet. He must have been a midfielder when he was younger. As if he's not young.
It's like
enough,
Jason Steele,
is.
Isn't it? Jason Steele said he used to play like centre mid sometimes for Sunday league teams when he was playing golf.
You can see. I think that's probably the reason. I don't know Rushworth in and out, but from my taking anyway, I haven't seen a player with that much composure on a ball. I think that, you know, he's got the composure of Jason Steele, but he's got a passing ability that probably is far above the
Dale
Stevens Sanchez and Steele. Dale Stevens in the championship 2015
unmatched passing range. But yeah, it's like a Stevens Jonjo Shelvey link up right there. Like, jeez, you don't get much better than that back in the Championship. But
we're winning the lot next year if that's the case.
We're winning everything. But no, he looks great, and I'm very excited by him, and the Dutch fans seem excited by him as a prospect too, which is exciting.
And do you see, what do you reckon with Steele, will he be starting next year? Because Bart seems like pretty much done, isn't it? So let's say we have Bart and we have Jason Steele. Do you? I agree with Maz. I think it would be unfair to drop Jason Steele all of a sudden for Bart. But you know, Deserbi off for making a big decision like that. No. Especially if you're going to do it, you do it at the start of the season. And it depends. Yeah, I think that's probably when you would have to do it rather than just randomly doing it. And like Maz said, it's until Jason Steele makes a mistake, which is quite unfortunate. But that's when, well, a football manager like myself on my video game. Yeah, that's what I'd be doing. As soon as they make a mistake, he's gone. And that's when you drop him. But yeah, what do you reckon? Who starts?
The good thing is we've got a USA Summer Series to, you know, get into, see, you know, these young players, new players. So it could give us a little bit of an insider as to what our starting 11 could be on the first day. Could be a good also insider as to who's better in that, you know, if we're rotating. But at the end of the day, Verbruggen is one of the hottest prospects in the world as a goalkeeper, and he has been signed and has been lured here by De Zerbi and being ensured game time. And at the end of the day, if you're going to be given and offered game time, you know, you're going to be all over it, especially as a goalie. So I'd imagine that he'd be starting, but I don't know if it'd be instant. But one thing I can say is we've got Europa League next year. So to be able to have the ability to switch between two very capable goalkeepers at their feet is going to be so vital for us. Two goalkeepers that will hopefully love the club as well and not just want to leave would be quite nice, especially when we've got so many cup competitions to play in. So I'd imagine that we're signing a lot, aren't we? So bless you. I would think that we're going to be in a much better situation in terms of rotation, and we're going to be seeing more rotation. So
that's a very good point, because you know, but there'll be more. You always see like those clubs that are playing in Europe, they always have a cup goalkeeper, don't they? Or a key goalkeeper that plays in Europe. And yeah, you know, I didn't even think about that, whether it'll be Jason Steele that plays in Europe or Verbruggen. Maybe Verbruggen does and Jason Steele starts in the Premier League.
There's no harm in mixing it as well, you know. Like if they're both very confident and very capable, there's, you know, you need a core, of course, but at the same time, especially with all these competitions, I think it's not a massive harm.
Sorry, I pressed the wrong button then. No, that's true. But I think, I don't know, if I had to pick, I'd probably say maybe Jason Steele for the Prem, just maybe for the experience that he had last year, let Verbruggen settle into the cup competitions and that sort of thing. I think that would be the way I would go about it, if so. But no, it looks very exciting to be able to sign another wonder kid, especially as a goalkeeper, because it's so important to have a really, really good goalkeeper. Gives the defence in front of him a lot of confidence as well. And Brighton have a very good history of Dutch goalkeepers. Mm-hmm. Past Tim Krul, we have big Michel Kuipers, the former Dutch Marine, and Brighton absolutely loved him. So hopefully it's the same for Bart Verbruggen.
Oh, I can see that Bart Verbruggen's a Royal Dutch Marine. That'd be great.
Yeah, but was he a chef? We'll have to find out. We'll have to ask him if we ever see him.
We'll get him on the podcast.
we'll get him on the pod. That'll be the first question. That'll be the only question we ask him.
Do you know Michel Kuipers? You look up to him. Sorry.
Actually, let's get them both on. That'd be great, because Michel's an absolute legend. And if you don't know him as a Brighton fan, you're listening, get to know him, because he is an absolute hero. Has he got a flag outside the West Stand way? Don't know if he does, has he?
I don't know. I sit in the West, I don't even know. That's really bad, isn't it? My awareness is awful. Like you could literally have you seen them awareness tests and they put the moonwalking bear thing in the background and they see if you notice it when you're trying to count the key puppies? You ever do that in school? There's a bear goes behind. If anyone was in school and did this, it's the weirdest thing. And my brain would just completely not even realise it's there. Like, I would not even notice at all. And it's just there doing this and all sorts. So
that is worrying. You'll get cooked if you're in the forest. And funny enough, I was actually watching loads of bear videos yesterday after listening to Joe Rogan podcast. It's very strange.
Brighton Pod, sorry.
I learned something whilst we were off air, Ryan. Sasha Bowie, who was a right back that some Brighton fans are excited about, the Galatasaray guy. I had no idea, and you informed me. What did you inform me, Ryan?
Fabrizio Romano followed me on Twitter as well, by the way. Top man. He's been DMing me and all sorts. He's been a great guy. But
he's good books.
Yeah, back in the good books. It's all right. But, no, shout out Fab. He's all right. He definitely listens to this. And Sacha Boey ruled out the move, didn't he? So I would think, to be fair to Fabrizio, he has been pretty spot on for everything Brighton related this year, this summer. So I would say, yeah, he's not coming. Looks like Livramento could be a good potential, though. And obviously, we all know Tino very well for, obviously, the ACL injury that he suffered at the Amex. And then the actual That's comeback he had at the Amex, too, which is quite crazy. But, yeah, maybe a move for him. But there's a heavy price tag of $50 million from Southampton. And obviously, Newcastle want him.
That's ridiculous. $50 million is insane. It's like they're putting $50 million on all of their players. They put Lavia, maybe I can understand. They've said they want $50 to $55 million for James or Prowse, which is baffling. That's bonkers. Mental. He's not worth that sort of money. I'm sorry. Good player, not worth $50-55 million.
Maybe
for a set piece merchant. No, he's more than that. But yeah, Tino Rimento, he was the one that he was my shout for a transfer in the maybe an episode ago or two episodes
ago.
It's good to see that we're going back in with him. Newcastle put in a bid of $12 million, I think, last week, which is quite funny, a bit disrespectful. Yeah. I can't see him, probably not worth $12 million, but
it could have soured it, in fairness. That's why, wasn't it, the Athletic said that Brighton aren't out of the race regardless of Newcastle's stars.
Yeah. Which I'm absolutely buzzing with. But the only issue, Ryan, he is the injuries again, which we've had with Tarek Lamptey.
True. He is a very talented boy. He was probably the only one that him and Tarek were so close in being the best in the Chelsea academy. But I would have him. But then, yeah, the 50 million, though, I wouldn't spend 50 million. Definitely not.
No.
I think maybe 30 max, 25 max. I know Southampton
25 fans, I can see.
Laugh. But I think, yeah, it's hard to see us going much higher to a player that's been out for a year and a half year and a bit. It would be a big, bold move, which I wouldn't put past us, in fairness. But yeah, injury-prone players we could do without, especially with our current injury sort of squad that we've got. We'll see.
I would like him. I don't know. I'd have to disagree. I don't know if Brighton would be the club that would take a punt on an injury-prone player like that. I know we have maybe with De Hood, but he comes as a free transfer.
Lallana, Welbeck. But they're frees.
Maybe, 25 million, I'd absolutely take him. But then what does that mean for Tarek Lamptey? He has been struggling coming back into the team.
Joel Veltman's
been obviously very, very brilliant. I do feel for him because he had the weight put on his shoulders and he really, really took it to everyone and showed how unbelievable he was going to be. And then he got injured and it was heartbreaking to see because he was so good. Linked with Bayern Munich, and people were joking about having Tarek Lamptey and Alphonso Davies or wing-backs, saying it should be illegal. And now, yes, he's been struck by a lot of injuries and it's so sad to see. And I would really, really hate to see him leave the club.
Yeah, same.
If we did get another right-back in with Joel Veltman there as well, because I can't see us having three right-backs. But what do you reckon? If we do get another right-back, does that mean Lamptey maybe goes out on loan somewhere else?
I think if anything, he'd probably get sold, unfortunately. I don't think we'd loan him just because, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to want to focus on his career. He's going to be, 23 next year, 24? So ultimately, you know, he's in a position where he wants to settle his career so he knows where he's going to play. It's harsh, really, because I don't want to see him sold. I feel like he's one of those players that a lot of people got an attachment to quite quickly, especially during lockdown. Lockdown Lamptey and all that is one of the parts.
He was like our first superstar, wasn't he?
Yeah, we really felt like we had something proper there. And I still think we could, but I think that it's too much of an ask for him really to become, you know, especially with the amount of games he's got to play next year. I could see him being sold. I hope it's a loan just for the sake of, you know, if he does go out and does really well, stays fit for a year, it could be great for us. But ultimately, if we're looking at the likes of Livramento, you know, they're young players too, and they're going to be realistically replacing him, which is a shame, but it is what it is. It's football.
But on the flip side, he featured a couple of times, didn't he, on the left-hand side, and maybe that would be good to have as an option this season. And similar to the goalkeeper situation, maybe we can say, Lamptey, you can play in the Europa League and have more game time there. Maybe that'll help him get fit and get more adjusted to first-team football again, rather than him going out on loan. But yeah, I would be upset to see him leave permanently because there's still definitely a player there.
I agree.
It's just whether he can get over all these injury issues. And yeah, obviously with Sasha Bowie now not being part of it, I can only see it being Tino Livramento, unless we sign some absolute random, which we
there'll be another link
will
I reckon
end up doing.
Yeah, I don't know any right backs some random that I've seen or heard being linked to. I think the only things I have seen is obviously nice little leeway onto Kudus, to be fair, Mohamed Kudus.
Yeah, I was about to say.
As first called by Fabrizio, again, another exclusive here from Fabrizio Romano. He gave us the big news of João Pedro, and now he's given us some exclusive on a player which I think, Ben, could be a very, very, very big coup. He's one of the most, I think he is the most successful dribbler in the world currently, in terms of dribbles completed.
After Harry Kane.
Is it after Harry Kane? That's mad. Oh, sorry.
Well, no, just because of his speech.
That's terrible. That's horrible. you actually baited me properly as well. I was going to say, how can he dribbling on? Anyways, point is, you are immature. Point is, Kudus, great player, Ben. 40 million, though, probably thereabouts, I'd say. To get hold of him, yeah. It's going to be a tough deal. Apparently,
that wasn't it. So imagine it would be 30. I think £35 million will probably be the number we go for if we do end up going for him.
He's that wonder kid on Football Manager, FIFA. Kudus is the go-to guy on if you play Football Manager or FIFA. You always sign Kudus. I always do.
Make
and him
play
I always
anywhere.
Rate him. Yeah,
he's a guy like right wing,
midfielder. Yeah, he's great, and I'm really excited if we do get him because he screams Brighton. He also screams Roberto De Zerbi. But again, I did speak to Yelmer, and Yelmer told me, shout out Yelmer, and he told me that at Ajax, great talent, but and it comes with a big but. And the reason why he's going so cheap, and it's the reason why it's time to move on, is because he's not the best at playing with the team. He's a bit selfish. Now, don't get me wrong, you need selfish players, particularly talented ones. But if it's a situation where he's not going to play for the team and he's going to sulk, then that's not good. And I hope that, I think that De Zerbi, the one thing he is good at is sorting players out and making them the best they can be. Realistically, we didn't see, I know that Solly is definitely not a sulker, far from it, in fact, but he's a player that was completely on the other end of being not the best, you know, in terms of goals output, assists output, to being our best goals assists output. So what do you think? Do you think that he could revive that will to play for a team and being a little bit more inclusive, perhaps?
If anyone can, it would be De Zerbi. Out of any managers currently in the Prem or any of the top leagues, I feel like he's their guy that would get that into you. And maybe it's part of just on Kudu's side. Maybe can you get bored of being in the Eredivisie if you're quite successful there constantly?
Yeah.
And maybe obviously I don't think they've done as well in Europe this year. Did they even qualify last year?
No, they did qualify the Champions League. Or are they Champions?
They were Champions League last year, weren't they? Because apparently scored against Liverpool. I don't remember seeing that. But
yeah, I think they're Europa this year. I believe.
Yeah, I think they are Europa this year. Yeah. So maybe it's just a case of getting like cold feet and wanting to move on. You know, this is going to be such a brilliant opportunity for him. Playing in the Premier League is massive, and I think it'll be such a big motivation for him. And then, yeah, on top of that, you've got De Zerbi, who can probably kick him into gear, and it'll be such a great environment for Kudus to be in, for sure. Like, it's one thing, not just saying it because I'm being biased, but Brighton is definitely one of the best clubs to be at in the Prem, let alone probably maybe in the world, potentially.
Especially
we're
for a talented attacker, you know? Like, if you're a player that wants to get forward, wants to have the ball a lot, wants to take players on, get goals... and being with a chance, and you know you're going to be in with a chance of a good five big chances, you know, a game, probably a bit much, but three big chances a game. You know that you're in with a chance of scoring a lot of goals. I think that Kudus is that sort of player. He looks like a player that's going to want to be in that situation, so, especially with João Pedro, Mitoma, Adingra, March. You know, we've got some great attackers. Sarmiento as well has signed a new contract. and that's not even to mention, you know, if we went for any more. But I do think that he's going to be very vital in terms of versatility as well, as you say.
That's where he plays, though. That would be the interesting part, because obviously he can play right wing, he can play cam, he can play as an eight in centre midfield. But I think he's also played up front for Ajax as well.
Yeah,
I doubt he'll be playing up. He won't be playing up front for us, I'm pretty sure. But maybe he's the Alexis, or maybe he's the guy that will be going into midfield, and we have someone else that will play deeper.
Yeah. I was told back in June that back in May, that as the season ended, it was saying, Brighton will be going for big names, so don't worry, this summer. And I was just thinking, And then I see the link with all these players. And now I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, my goodness, you weren't lying. Like, you were not lying. We really are going for big names. Like, I did not imagine. Did you ever imagine Joao Pedro and Kudus being players that Brighton would be linked with, let alone signing? But like, linked.
That's the one that shocked me. That was the one that shocked me, Joao Pedro. And I was like, fuck, we mean business.
Yeah.
And that was such a good surprise. And it's actually part of a question I was going to ask. Is when you have those nice surprises, when you see a player randomly linked and then you sign him very, very quickly after that, it's such a such a great feeling rather than having to deal with these long-winded, month-long transfer sagas.
Yeah, I feel like someone done could be that.
Could be. And it kind of does it. Sometimes it gets a bit boring. Like, I imagine Arsenal fans are still pretty happy they signed Declan Rice, but the fact that it just took so long and it's so long-winded, it's just, it must get a bit, it must kill the happiness a little bit. And I saw someone's tweet went viral. It was like, I absolutely love David Ornstein, absolutely love Fabrizio Romano. And then said, but wouldn't you just love to find out your transfers as like a surprise? And you're like, oh, wow, you got a really, really cool announcement video. Or you just find out on the day, like kind of like we did with Joao Pedro. I think we found out on the Thursday night. And then by the Friday, I think we'd actually signed him or something like that. And that was such a great surprise. Yeah. And now these kind of sagas go on for so long. You're happy once you get him, but it just gets a bit... Yeah, exactly. It's very draining on the fans. And I know that's part of football now, especially with social media. Like,
it's agents.
Back in the day, you would find out who you've signed on like 442 magazine. Yeah, when you didn't have social media, you'd be going to Marbella on the plane, you pick up 442 because it's the first thing you read all year. And then you see who you're signing on there. Something
back
like
when
that.
Magazines meant something, you know. Like, it's unfortunate.
But now this Caicedo thing has been going on since January, mate. Like, the whole Arsenal thing. And then literally even during the season, Fabrizio Romano was tweeting about him.
It was boring.
And it still
is
boring.
I think it is bored a bit now,
and
to be fair.
It kind of kills it a bit.
I saw Brian Bowles really popping off. And I saw he put a tweet on about the same thing. He just said that the Caicedo stuff is just boring now. Like, it's at a point where you just think, well... We all know he's going to go. Like, no one expects him to stay at Brighton now. And if he does, it's because no one wants to pay for him. And I said that back in that Bold Opinions thing, that I feel like it's going to be kind of a lot for people to pay. And that's always been my stumbling block over Caicedo, whether anyone's actually going to spend 100 million on him. And I still believe that we'll stick to it. But yeah, I just feel like it's been going on for so long now that even if someone does go and buy him, like, I'm not going to have any emotional attachment to it whatsoever. Because it's gone. I've pretty much written it off.
Yeah, it feels like he's already gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've accepted that he's going to be gone. That was months ago. So it's not going to be painful to see him finally go. Alexis was a bit different because I felt
Alexis seeing him in the Liverpool shirt hurt. Like that did hurt. I saw him in red, I was like, nah.
What number did he take? Didn't he take one? He took number 8, didn't he?
10.
Was it?
Or 8.
Oh, he took 10.
10, 10, 10, 10.
Did he take 10? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Wait, no, did he? Because I think he might have taken 8 because Naby Keita left. Maybe. Okay. Yeah. No. I think you are right. I just remember seeing. Oh no, that's right. No, it is 10. But the reason why I done it is because I had to make a graphic for work, and it was Gerrard and Alexis. And Alexis said he didn't want to take the 8 because he felt that was too heavy because of Gerrard. Said he wanted to show more respect to Gerrard and leave it and not take the 8.
That's not the best thing to say, is it?
It's throwing shade at Naby Keita.
Yourself, shouldn't you?
No, he's throwing shade now. Cater for suddenly taking the 8 straight away as soon as Gerrard.
Someone believed in me enough to sign me up, right? Say one football came in and was like, Ryan, we think you are like, I know that you haven't got like the most followers out of like people with millions, but we think you could be the one that has 3 million followers in a year. And I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to go there and be like, no, you got the wrong guy. Get someone else. I'll have 1 million followers, but I'm not getting 3.
But then, it might be a South American thing.
So I'm trying to say
that they're more attached to number 10 with likes of Pele and obviously Messi, Maradona, that sort of thing. I think 10's a big number for South America.
I get that, but I'd still go in there and be like, yeah, come on then, yeah, I'll do that. I can do that. I believe in that. Like, if you're telling me you believe in that, why shouldn't I believe in it?
Maybe that's why your point, 20 minutes ago, and you're saying about
that's actually quite
being
weird.
Missed a nice guy
situation. Yeah,
missed a nice guy thing.
Don't
maybe
be
that,
too
that could
humble
be
because. Sometimes you need to have that arrogance, you know. You need to go in and even if you don't believe it yourself, if you put it into your head, then you will believe it eventually, and it will happen because that's how the power of manifestation is. But I think that if you're going into something like that, it's a especially a big club like Liverpool, and you're going in instantly saying I don't want the 8 because Gerrard is a bit scary.
Unless maybe it was a thing just to and also to appease Liverpool fans to show that he knows about the club and that sort of thing. Could just be that. Who knows? How did we even get onto Alexis's number?
I don't know. Sorry, this is such a sidetrack. But to be fair, it's been a good, good conversation. Oh, yeah. Go on.
Another technical error from Ryan's behalf, but you know.
Hang on a minute. We're back in. this right. I've got a really cheap thing off Amazon, right? And the thing is, because I have to plug in my mic transmitter thing. Every single time I even go close to it, it just goes. So like when you've got your headphones, you're trying to balance it so that you can just about hear it, and then as soon as it's gone, kids nowadays won't get it because they've got AirPods. When you have to try and get the thing to balance, and without it, it's going to go. Yeah, I've got that situation. It's really annoying. But yeah,
technical errors, and always with Ryan. But we'll move on. I don't know how we got into the number thing, but we've already said that. I wanted to talk about players that we already have signed, because I don't think we spoke too much about João Pedro, obviously to Hood. I think
we
spoke about James Milner. I did joke just then off air about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, if you remember from previous episodes.
Where is he?
Apparently a barber. Someone's my mate's barber or photographer, I think it was, told him that he was going to be signing a greedy deal. Who knows? Maybe it will happen. Maybe it will be a surprise.
What about this photo of Robert Sanchez's story then? With Danny Welbeck and none other. You got the light in the way. None other than Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
No way.
Yeah. So
I told you, mate, it's happening. It's
you
happening.
Never know. You never know.
Agent Welbs.
If you are right, we could be getting some Little Mix halftime dance shows. So that would be great.
Yes. Golly's girls reformed.
one thing I was going to say about João Pedro, it's very exciting. Obviously, the depth we've got in those positions, as we mentioned. One player I didn't mention, though, was Facundo Buonanotte. I didn't mention Facundo Buonanotte. I think he's a great player. He's got potential to be, anyway. He's a long way off, but he's got time. He's put a quote out when he first joined Brighton. It's via ESPN. And I'll read you out. It was windy and cold. With my agent, we were in a hotel overlooking the sea. It was getting dark at 3 p.m, and I was thinking, where have I gone? I wanted to kill myself, but I didn't say anything. I was like, what? Obviously, Jesus. It's a very, very out of context quote. And then it says, as the months went by, I got used to it. Now I like it better. I didn't know how much about the team, but then I started to get used to it. We managed to qualify for Europa League, which was the group's objective. So I'm very happy. Now we'll be back in a few days to prepare. It's like, had the cold weather. I don't think that's a real quote. I don't think he actually wanted to, you know. But I
Brighton
like
Marine is not that bad, mate. I think that's where he was staying, like, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he means he saw it and he was like, oh my God, I wanted to die. Like, as a I think it was probably a throwaway comment, you know?
Yeah,
like, I wanted to die. Probably said it joking. Literally. Not actually, yeah. But no, the point of the matter is, I read that, I was like, what? But all the comments, obviously, are laughing, saying, you know, what? It's not that bad. But the good point is, it means he's settling in. It means he's getting into life here, and obviously settling into the temperature. It always goes to prove, doesn't it, that these young players coming from South America, it's got a long way to go before they actually even get into the culture here. If you know what I'm trying to say. But João Pedro, Ben, talk to me. How excited are you to see 30 million plus potentially five add-ons? Was 30. It maybe 35?
Yeah,
all in. Big signing.
So excited, mate. So excited. And he's another versatile player as well. Can play as a 10, can play in the wing, can play up front even. And even Glenn Murray, I think there was a great quote from Glenn Murray recently about when he was at Watford and João Pedro was there as well. Apparently in the first week, he actually phoned the club saying, you need to sign this boy. This boy's world class. He's going to be brilliant. And then obviously 2 or 3 years later, he's actually at the club. It's just quite mad that Glenn saw it and phoned us up straight away. Didn't phone up Crystal Palace, by the way. Phoned up Brighton, which is, I thought, were quite nice as well. Well, maybe he did phone up Crystal Palace and you didn't mention
did
it.
Both,
but I think it probably was just Brighton.
He did weird. Both.
Yeah. he might have done both. But no, I think that was incredible. And now he's here. I'm so excited to see him. He looks so sick. Looks so good. I just be interesting to see where he plays. Because does he won't be playing on the left if Karen Matoma's there. If Kudus comes, whether he'll be playing on the right or whether he'll be playing in the middle. And will we be playing with a 10 potentially? Or maybe a striker just off of Evan Ferguson? Who knows where he plays? But wherever he does play, I'll be so excited to see him play. A Brazilian playing for Brighton is going to be so cool. I know Bernardo is really, really great at left back, but this is levels. Like, this is João Pedro. yeah, baller. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's going to be very, very good.
I think to answer your question, I did say on AFTV, I actually think it was, and I said about the position thing. And Brighton seemed to sign types of players, not positions. I think that that's ultimately the most important thing. If you're a scout, you're not looking for a position, you're looking for a type of player that can play in that position. I think that because João Pedro is an out-and-out sort of striker, if you were to call him, if you were just purely basing football on positions, I think because we've got him as a striker, we've got, obviously, Ferguson's a bit more of a complete centre-forward. This is what I'm saying, they're very, very different positions, even though, by definition, they're the same. So I think that because we've got Pedro, potentially Kudus, Mitoma's a bit more of a winger, March probably more of a winger, but then the rest of them are a little bit more of probably fluid, I'd say. I'd say pretty much everybody else around that position is quite fluid. I think what we're going to see next year is a lot more fluidity up front. We're going to see a lot more. Sometimes Kudu's going to be on the right. Sometimes he's going to be on the left. Sometimes Pedro's going to be through the middle. Other times he's going to be playing out wide. I think there's going to be a lot more fluid because that's what we're going to sort of have to do, because we're going to have to, I think, change
total
the
football
way that Deserby plays.
Like Ted Lasso, mate. Everyone will be playing everyone's positions, filling in.
But I think that's going to have to happen with Deserby, because I feel like the Pausa sort of became... I don't know. I feel like it will get worked out, because ultimately a lot of teams are going to now replicate. The Pep's now said that they're going to replicate. Obviously, I'm sure that Klopp will do the same. A lot of clubs are going to start replicating. So he'll have to adapt and change. And De Zerbi's admitted that in the press conferences in the past. He's going to have to adapt and change his style. Potentially, we could be seeing a change in style to where we've got players playing a lot more fluidly, a lot more attacking sort of changes. You know, we've been used to it in midfield for so long now, been used to it with inverted fullbacks, been used to it ball playing centre halves. I think the next thing that we're going to have to see that's changing is a change in up front. I feel like things are going to change a lot. That could be just me overthinking football as always, but I think that makes sense. No,
of course it does. Yeah, that's very, very true. And we've seen it in the past where managers don't change and it all goes Pete Tong, and when clubs do figure them out, and then they do drift off. A bit like Liverpool, if you don't change your players, or a bit like Leicester, if you don't change your
Leicester's
players, definitely
best
Leicester.
Example now.
Best example. Yeah, if you don't change and you don't keep up with the times, then you fall off. And eventually we will, whether we see it so soon, next season, who knows? I think we've probably got another season with it, I think.
Got another couple, I'd say. Got another two or three.
I'll be interested to see how teams do deal with it, because obviously I'm not a football manager, but thinking about it, I can't think of how a team would deal with having a centre-backs and that sort of thing, standing on the ball, waiting for them to come, because the only thing you can do is come. You're not just going to sit there and not get the ball, are you? So they'll be interested to see if it does get figured out.
There'll be a reaction.
It's
that's
quite
how
a
football
good compliment
evolves,
to,
Yeah,
but it is a massive compliment to De Zerbi and Brighton, the fact that Liverpool and City might be trying this out, maybe City definitely, are going to be adapting their way and kind of implementing it into their own style. So hats off to De Zerbi. It's a blessing and a curse, isn't it? If you're doing something so good, people are going to copy it.
Yeah.
That's
the John
the Stones
role
really.
Is probably one of my favourite alternatives. I think that's such a great
role.
That's
very
watch.
Clever. Yeah.
That's a great
role. So maybe
watch.
That's...
We saw De Zerbi do it against Pep on the final day, didn't we? Not the final day, the day before the final day. When he did it with Van Hecker. And I thought that it worked really well. To sort of leave a free gap between midfield, anchor, centre-half. All of a sudden, you've got a ball player who can come all the way as far as through the middle to sort of pass the halfway line into the final third. That is, I don't know why, I love tactics. I think that I absolutely love tactics. Watching that Van Hecker role was so great. And I thought, no way he's actually trying to do the same as Pep, to Pep. Like, that's just great. And it worked to Haaland anyway. It'll be interesting next year, definitely. There's going to be a lot of evolving. You think of how much has changed in the last, since October when he came in to now.
Mate,
to think
so much has changed, so much changed since Potter left.
Yeah.
So much has changed, mate. It's crazy.
I feel like a different person. I feel like I've aged with it, but it's great.
What we're going to be saying next year, this time next year, we'll be going into another season,
mad.
Hopefully with De Zerbi. So much change. We're getting so many new players coming through. It's very exciting. It's super exciting. Mm-hmm. And then also, another exciting thing that made me so excited for next season is our friend Ted, friend of the podcast, made an incredible end of season video We shared it on our story.
Oh yeah, Ned's got taken down.
I'll put a link in
well.
The description as well. Ned's did.
You know
did
Ned?
It.
Yeah, Ned Atar. He did one. We got taken down.
Was his on YouTube right. though?
Yeah. On Twitter. Maybe I'll get him to YouTube. Maybe I'll get
probably,
him to post it on
probably
Twitter
because it was on YouTube. Yeah, because match footage is going to get snapped up straight away. But yeah. I'll try, if I remember, I'll put a link to Ted's in the description because it is really, really good. Phenomenal. And I'm absolutely pumped, mate. Europa League football soon. We'll be back maybe in a week or two if something significant happens.
To
who
fair,
knows?
We could do
I feel like there's
going to
be a surprise
now,
coming.
I think. Players are coming back on Monday, I think, because it's obviously 1st of July is tomorrow. I doubt they'll put them in on a Saturday. They could do, I doubt it. So the season starts tomorrow at the time of recording this. So 2023-24 season is tomorrow. And for me, I'm excited by that.
We'll have a kit review soon as well, I think.
Yeah, we'll get all this back. So I think regular weekly podcasts are back, if I'm honest, because it is the build up. There'll be more transfers, pre-season, America tour. Yeah. There's been plenty to talk about. So yeah, we're back.
That's true. America tour is going to be quite fun to react to.
Yeah,
America's going to be jokes. But yeah, I just feel like there's a surprise. I feel like they're especially in maybe in the defensive role, whether we get Cole or not. I feel like that's a big position.
There'll be a breakthrough in that. To be fair.
That'll be the next position to sort out, and then I think we're probably good to go. I think we're good to go in Europe and the Premier League and all the cups, and potentially win silverware. We'll leave it on that. Ryan, thank you for sticking with me,
Tom,
and being here. Obviously, Maz had to leave. It's been a good episode. It's been nice to be back.
It's been really good.
We haven't spoken
it's been a little
for
bit more analytical, actually. It's been quite fun. I've been quite enjoying. It feels like a long time since I've gone to that part of my brain. It's been quite fun to do.
We've had so many players that we've been linked with to talk about, which was obviously very nice as well. Yeah. Because sometimes, well, especially maybe in recent times, we haven't really been linked with players we know or that we can talk about. It's always been never seen a player, watched his highlights of Brazil scout, looks good, let's get him. But now we actually know the likes of João Pedro, De Hood, they've got history and they've got class that we'll be looking forward to seeing next year. So like the video, comment below saying, let us know whether you think we're going to get Colwill. Let us know if you think we'll get Colwill or not. Let us know, because I'm interested to see
how much would
you
spend
think.
On him. What's the max you spend on? That's the comment. 50 60 million.
I can't see us, maybe 45. If we hit 50 million in a transfer, that's crazy. I can't see us spending that much. We have the money.
So
obviously
ready.
We do have the money.
We're
for
so
sure
here.
But we are him.
We're so here.
Yeah,
we've got me.
And also, let us know any other signings you think that we should get or that we linked to that we've missed. And on that note, we will see you very soon. Peace.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.